Luke chapter 24. Now last week we talked about the triumphal entry. We talked about how we call that Palm Sunday. And we were going through there, through that story, and I showed you some relations between the first and second advent. When Jesus Christ came the first time, we know he came as the dying lamb, as our sacrifice. And when he comes the second time, he's going to be the king. They were expecting a king then. And so they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord, the Son of David. That's what they were expecting. They were expecting a Messiah to come in and take over and kick out those Roman government and rule over them. That's what they wanted. But it didn't come that time. It didn't come that time. Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for many. He died and was buried and rose again, as we know. And the preacher went through some of this stuff Wednesday night about the crucifixion. We're going to talk about the resurrection. It's been a week since he first came into Jerusalem. And they were saying Hosanna and shouting and praising and asking, save us, save us. That's what Hosanna means, save us. And then just a few days later, they were saying, crucify him, crucify him. The same people that were praising him as he came in. That's just like human nature. That's just in every single one of us, we can do the same exact thing in our hearts. But thank God here in Luke chapter 24, let's start in verse 1. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. It's talking about these women. But look at the very first part of that verse. Now upon the first day of the week, I was talking to a guy in school the other night. He came up Catholic, and I guess he's still going to the Catholic church. We're trying to get him to come to church. But Joe and I witnessed to him, and he wound up getting saved this school year. He took tracts, and he would read them. Every time I bring tracts in there, he loves them. He loves those chick tracts, and he reads them. And I was explaining to him he asked me if we're off Good Friday and if we're celebrating Good Friday. I said, you know, that's all fine. That's all good and dandy, but he didn't get crucified on Friday. You know why? Because in Matthew chapter 12, it says, Jesus himself said, as Jonas was 3 days in the heart of in the whale's belly, 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So if you take Friday to Sunday morning, which we all celebrate, how is that 3 days and three nights? It doesn't match up. It doesn't match up at all. And what I was explaining to him and what I'll explain to you is this. When I started reading the Bible, I didn't think at all about how this is a Jewish book, really. Jesus Christ was a Jew. And these things in the Bible, it's Jewish. For the most part, it's not English. It's not American, that's for sure. And the fact is that their calendars are different. Their days are different. A Jewish day starts at 6 p.m. And it goes 24 hours to the next 6 p.m. Not 12 a.m. to 12 a.m. like we have it. And so I explained those things to him. When you lay it out in the book of Mark, we can go through it. But I'm going to talk about this resurrection a little bit more than anything is what I'd like to talk about. But throughout the book of Mark, you can see in chronological order how these events laid out since Palm Sunday till the time he was crucified, until the time he rose again. And it goes through there, and if you pay attention while you're reading from Mark chapter 11 to the end of the book, it goes through there, and it'll tell you, now, and then the evening came, and then he did this, and the next morning he did this, and the next evening he did this, and it keeps going on and on and on through the book of Mark, and you can it lays out perfectly, chronologically. So that on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, I always thought the first day of the week was Monday. Shows you how much I know. The Bible says the first day of the week is Sunday. That's why we meet. That's why the disciples, the apostles, they all met on Sunday, the first day of the week. To open the Bible, they preached, they worshiped God, they broke bread, the Bible says, in the book of Acts. So that's why we meet on Sunday, because it's the first day of the week. It also tells you that in Exodus chapter 12. Even way back in the Old Testament, it says that the first day of the week was a special day. Even though the Jews, their day of rest was the Sabbath on a Saturday, the seventh day. Now, if you want proof that, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Check this out. I didn't really pay attention to this till just recently. Actually, I mean, just this week I was reading through here, and it just dawned on me. So it don't matter how many times you've read through your Bible or what you've done or what you've read, until God shows you something, that's all that matters, really, in the end. Now, look at this. Now, I believed, and I kind of knew just by experience, like talking to people, that the Jewish day started at 6 p.m. until the following 6 p.m., 24 hours. And it says it right here in the Bible. How many times have you started to read your Bible and started in Genesis and you quit once you got about halfway through Genesis? I did that tons of times before I actually read through the Bible. And look what it says in verse 5. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's how the Jews had their days. And so once you chronologically go through, you see that Jesus Christ was crucified on Wednesday, three nights. So 6 p.m., by 6 p.m. Wednesday night, he was in that tomb. And by 6 p.m. Saturday, which is actually the next day, Sunday for the Jews, the first day of the week, Jesus Christ came out. And so here we are, Luke chapter 24. You can go back to Luke chapter 24. It says, now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found that the stone rolled away, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. We preach all the time how that Jesus Christ rose again. You can go by Muhammad's grave. You can go by Buddha's grave. You can go by everybody, just about anybody's grave. They're all still there. They found not the body of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a blessing. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout. They're like, man, what? They're scratching their heads. They're perplexed. What's going on? Behold, two men stood by them in shining raiment, garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth and said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's a great verse right there. That's what the whole world does. They try to find something. They try to find something live and real with substance and everything else but God. They try to find something real and live and everything else but the Bible. And I'm here to tell you, everybody has a void in their heart that only God can fill. You've heard that, and that's the truth. The very thing that you want in your heart is a relationship, a connection with the Creator, with God. I stand today, there's nothing more better than when I can look up and I feel the presence of God. It's not all about a feeling, but I feel it. My arms are here standing up my arms right now just talking about it. That's what everybody on this planet craves. They want peace. And there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked, the Bible says. But they can have it. You know, naturally, we're all fallen sinners. And they can have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, if they just learn to trust Jesus Christ. And so what they'll do a lot of times, pride will keep them back from turning to Jesus Christ. And they'll seek it, you know, in a bottle, in drugs, you know, going out to the bar. We were preaching at the bar last night. A lot of those people are searching for something. Somebody told a preacher last night, I'm searching. I'm searching for something. And so my question to them is, I preach a lot. I preach that verse a lot. Why seek ye the living among the dead? There's nothing in there for you. Jesus Christ said the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a ditch. But look what verse 6 says. He is not here, but is risen. Jesus Christ is not physically on this earth. But like the song says, he's in my heart. And I can feel it. I know he's in my heart. And I can't prove to you any other kind of way that I'm saved, except I can tell you I know that he's in my heart. And that's how it is for you too if you're saved. You know. If you trusted Jesus Christ, you know that you got something going on between you and God. You know. You ought to know. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. Could you imagine? Say your best friend that you've been running around with for 3 years and you've seen them do all these things. They had all their hopes. They had all their chips. They had all their chickens in one basket on Jesus Christ. And they were walking around with this guy. They had everything in there. And they saw him do all those things, raising dead people, healing blind folks, healing sick folks, and then he goes and gets killed. How does that happen? Superman, I don't think super, I mean, we know the kryptonite or whatever, that's a stupid tale or whatever. But you know what I mean? They thought he was God. How can God die? But he died. He gave his life. But they didn't realize he was going to take it back. He told them. And just like us, sometimes you read through the Bible and you read through it and you read through it and you miss things. That's why you got to pray. I like what Samuel said. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I pray that a whole lot when I read the Bible. I try it every time I go to read the Bible. Say, Lord, give me something. Help me. Help me. Help me to understand because I won't get it. With me in my mind, I won't get it. I don't have it. But the Spirit of God bears witness. The Spirit of God is what teaches you. The word, Jesus Christ said that my words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Even though you could take this book and shred it up and rip it around and throw it around, these words are eternal. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. So it says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, the one that denied him three times, the one that was always half-cocked, going off half-cocked. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves. Jesus wasn't there. And departed, wondering in himself at which was come to that which was come to pass. Man, thank God for that. Now here's Jesus Christ. Now what happened in those 3 days that Jesus Christ was down in the heart of the earth? First Peter says that he preached to the spirits in prison. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, I think it is. Let me look there. That was off the cuff. Let me look, make sure I'm telling you right. No, chapter 4. It says here, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when one ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that also he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? There it is. He said, I must be in the heart of the earth in Matthew chapter 12. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And it goes on and he tells about the gifts that he gave to the church. This is later on from what we're talking about here. But I like what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 11. Turn there. John chapter 11. Talking about a resurrection this morning. John chapter 11 and verse 17 says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain. Now this is talking about Lazarus. Then when Jesus came, he found that he laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. That's always what Mary's doing. Luke chapter 10, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus while Mary's out running around. Bible. Jesus said, why are you cumbered about? And you'll see later what Martha says. It says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been there, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. That's a great promise. That's a great promise. Man, I tell folks that if they're alive, if they lost a loved one, and then I find out that they trusted Jesus Christ, they're saved, I'll say, look, they'll rise again. That's a great promise. Because people, man, they get tore up. I started out with death, it seems like. My dad died when I was 4 years old. I loved my dad from what I remember. I was just four. And I remember going fishing with him. I remember sitting up in a deer stand while he was out hunting. I remember the things my dad did, and I don't have a promise that I'm going to see him again now that I know the truth, but I always used to think about that. When I first heard about Jesus rising again, I always used to try to mill over in my mind, and then that's what life's all about. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and you're going to lose loved ones, and you're going to wonder, am I going to see him again? Thank God we know. There's people in the world that don't know. They don't have any hope, but we do. We have hope that if you're saved and you die, you're coming up. You have hope that if your wife or your husband or your kid or your grandmother or your mother, whoever it is, if they're saved, they're coming up one day. They're not going to have to pay for their own sins in hell, and they're not going to stay down. Just like our Lord didn't stay down, he came up. There's hope. It says here, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha's always got it figured out. That's how some Christians are. They always know, and they're always well, I don't like how that way that's going. I don't like how this is going. And they always got to put their 2 cents in, but they have no patience to wait to see what God can do. That's Martha for you. That's a picture of a Christian that just has no patience and think they know everything. And yet Jesus Christ just comes and blows them all away, just like the Pharisees. Martha's similar to a Pharisee when I read it. Verse 25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I love how Jesus answers back to people. Nicodemus comes and he lifts up Jesus Christ. And he's telling him, you know, we know that you're sent from God, and calls him master. And he just looks at him and says, you must be born again. This dude, he was a prominent man. He just comes up to Jesus Christ and says, he gives him all these praises and all these things. And Jesus says, you must be born again. You're no good. Isn't that a way to answer somebody? I like when his disciples come to him. His disciples are like, Lord, we got all these people to feed them. And he goes, I am the bread of life. What are you worried about? I just love how he answers anybody. He's nobody like Jesus Christ. There ain't nobody like him. So we know that he's going to rise in the last day. Most folks, most religions in the world believe that there's going to be a resurrection. Most religions. You read about Paul. There's a thing called the Sanhedrin. It's this big council, the big Jewish bigwigs back in the day. And they had Pharisees and Sadducees, two different sects of Judaism. And the Pharisees believed in a resurrection. Paul was a Pharisee. So he knew. He was in the midst of them. They had him on trial, and he knew the Sadducees were there. And he started talking about the resurrection. And all the Pharisees were like, yeah, yeah. And the Sadducees were all like, man, that's a bunch of baloney. I don't believe that stuff. And he split that sand and got out of there. It was funny. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were yet dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I thank God that you can hold on to that verse and keep it in your heart. Believest thou this? Let's read on down. Look in verse 38. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself coming to the grave. He's coming up to the grave. He's about to raise Lazarus. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, there she goes again, Lord, by this time he stinketh, and he hath been dead 4 days. Always nagging. Always got something to say. But Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, woman, did you hear me? That if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Sometimes you need to shut up and believe God. That's the truth. Sometimes when you read the book and you don't understand, just shut up and believe it. God's pleased by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I'm not looking for a sign. I'm not looking for lightning to flash and thunder to roll. I got the book. And I got the Spirit bearing witness in my heart. So sometimes you need to shut up and take it. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. See, they needed a sign. They needed to hear it. They had needed to see it. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. That's a great picture right there, what Jesus Christ is going to do for each and every one of us. Man, someday we're going to hear that final trump, and he's going to say, come up hither. Eric, come up hither. Justin, come up hither. Man, that's going to be great. That's going to be something. That's going to be good. And I was thinking to Brother Keith this morning. Oh, man. Oh, man, I was thinking of Brother Keith. Come on, brother. Today be a good day. I was thinking about it. Man. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. See, they all needed to see Jesus do something like that to believe on him. They saw him do this, and I've said it 3 times now. They folks that followed Jesus Christ saw him do all these things, and when he came into Jerusalem, they were breaking limbs down and laying them down and shouting Hosanna and were happy for him. But then the same people turned on him. The same people. It blows my mind. It shows you how wicked the heart of man is. Shows you how wicked it is. I couldn't imagine seeing that stuff and then turning on him. I couldn't imagine seeing what he's done in my life and turning on him. I'm scared of that. Right. Bible says, it's a good thing to fear God. Amen. I'm afraid that if I turn on God and the things that he could do, not just what he could do to me, but the effect that it'll have. Preacher preached last week, one sinner destroyed much good. Amen. I couldn't imagine going down and serving God and then turning back. That's a scary thing, man. When we have all these promises, we have this promise right here that we're going to get taken out of here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, before that, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 1. I'd like to talk about this a little bit. So after Jesus Christ came up, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He came up after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And it says he was with the disciples 40 days. So Acts chapter 1, Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts. I like how he writes. You can tell he was an educated person because I'm not. But he said this. Look how he writes. And if you read the first part of Luke and the first part of Acts, you can tell it's the same author. It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. People say, you can't prove it. There's many infallible proofs that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Now, we take it by faith, and that's it. That's all you need. But he's not here. He is risen. The man said, the angel said it. He's not here. He's risen. Many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's the spiritual kingdom. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. They're waiting for the Comforter. He promised them in John. When the Comforter comes, that's it. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? No, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. There's a difference when you read, especially in the book of Matthew, and you read kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. There's a difference when you see kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. You can't teach all and all that right now, but that, there's a difference there. It says kingdom of God, and the other one says kingdom of heaven. There's a difference right there. There's two different things. One's a spiritual kingdom, and one's a physical kingdom, which is what they all wanted. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're going to talk in tongues and flop around like a fish on the floor. No, don't say that. It says, and ye shall be witnesses. It says, and ye shall be witnesses when you have the Holy Ghost. Somebody filled up with the Holy Ghost, man, it's like somebody with liquid guts they've been drinking. I'm telling you right now. I heard a preacher preach a whole sermon on that before. They had these disciples in the book of Acts, the crazy things they were doing. It's like, it's not good to relish in those things. But I'm telling you, just like somebody drinks some alcohol and they get those liquid guts and they do things more bold than they ever would. Somebody filled up and stirred up with Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, man, you're going to do and say things that you never would have done before. And thank God you'll never regret them either. You'll never regret them, because if the Spirit of God is leading you to do it, what do you got to worry about? You have no regrets serving God. That's why it's good to stay with God and do what God wants you to do. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, just like we're going to be taken up one day. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. There's a song I used to sing, I've heard, it says, I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe the trumpet's going to sound so loud, it's going to wake the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he will split the eastern sky. I believe he's coming back like he said. That's why the promise of the resurrection is also deals with him coming back. Thank God. He rose up. He's going to come back, just like he said in John 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself. Thank God for that, man. They returned unto Jerusalem from the mount which is called Olivet and so on. I was going to say last week, I didn't get to mention this. This is kind of off. This is from last week. But when I was telling you about the first and second Advents, right there, they're at the Mount of Olivet. He said, you're going to come back right there. And it says it in Zechariah. He's going to come back and he's going to land on that thing on Mount Olives and the thing's going to split in two. Read Zechariah 14 and you'll see what I'm talking about. So he's coming back just like he said. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection and he's the life. He is the life, man. There's no better life than living for Jesus Christ. There is no better life. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. We're starting the beginning. This whole chapter has to do with the resurrection, basically. We could read this whole chapter. I'd like to, but we're running out of time. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. I stand in this promise, how that I'm going to rise again because Jesus rose again, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. There's your infallible proofs in Acts chapter 1. You got 500 eyewitnesses, over 500 people saw Jesus Christ come up from the dead. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Turn to the end. We could talk the whole day about the resurrection. We've got 5 minutes. Turn to the end. It says here, I'm sorry, look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them which sleep. It says, if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Jesus Christ didn't rise again, we have no hope. But we have the blessed hope. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know at the end of this chapter here, it has to do with the rapture. It says, behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I heard an old mountain preacher say, if something as big as God moves into you, you're going to change. You're going to change. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Philippians chapter 3 says he's going to change our vile bodies. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the resurrection, and we're going to get called out of here one day. And we're about out of time. It's like impossible to teach everything that happened and all that in that short amount of 7 days. It took 7 days from the triumphal entry to when he rose again. And man, there's a lot that went on in that time. But those are just a few things I can show you from the Scriptures about the resurrection. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for rising again, Father. And Lord Jesus, and I pray that you please come back soon. We're looking for you to come. And thank you for this church, and thank you for the book. Pray that you bless this service coming, and I pray the Holy Spirit of God would convict our hearts of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And I pray that you'd show some sinner that needs salvation that he has hope. Thank you for rising again, Lord. And please bless the service. We ask you in Jesus' name, amen.